I have been getting Factor meals delivered for probably a few years now, and when I first discovered these, they were really a game changer. They are fresh meals that get delivered right to my house, pop them in the microwave, and 2 minutes later, I have a healthy, protein-packed lunch all ready to go. I'm like, where were these when I was in the classroom? I like how there's so many different options, so I never get bored, and that I'm eating healthy without having to do a whole ton of cooking. If you are looking to eat healthier, to do takeout less, or to just have something taken off of your plate mentally, having your lunches or dinners set up ready to go, I highly suggest checking out Factor. It's what I have tried, and I really think you would love it too. Head over to factormeals.com/Sasha50off and use code Sasha50off to get 50% off your first Factor box. If you're ready to try this, this is such a great deal. Get 50% off your first Factor box plus free breakfast for a year. Love that. Make healthy easier with Factor. Before we get started with this episode, I want to share something that I think could be a game changer for your classroom. Now, as a former special education teacher, one of the things I struggled with the most was creating activities, resources, and curriculum for my classroom. I did not realize that that was part of my job. I have spent the last 10 years developing the Autism Helper curriculum based on what was missing from my former classroom. And now we finally have a way for school districts to purchase this curriculum directly for their teachers. The Autism Helper Curriculum Access is an annual subscription that provides access to all levels and subjects of our curriculum. This curriculum is rooted in evidence-based practices, it's aligned to the standards, and we just completed our pilot case study showing the overall effectiveness. To learn more about how your district can get curriculum access, head over to theautismhelper.com and click Curriculum Access. Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board-certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper Podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism. Welcome back to the Autism Helper Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the phrase accessing the curriculum. I think the education world goes through different phases of buzzwords and buzz phrases where everyone's saying the same phrase over and over, like data-driven instruction, project-based learning, differentiation. And you're like, okay, but what does that really mean? We're using the phrase accessing the curriculum a lot. I use the phrase accessing the curriculum a lot. So let's take a minute to really define what that means, what it is not, and how we can achieve it. Because accessing does not mean sitting in the room or being exposed to content. While he's accessing the third grade curriculum, no, he's not. He's just in the presence of the third grade curriculum. Sitting in the back of the third grade gen ed room, he is not learning any of that content. Being around it, that's not it. Instead, what does that really look like and how can we get to the goal of really accessing the curriculum? So we know accessing is not just exposure. It's not being physically present. It's not passive. That's really the, I think, key distinction. Just being present and watching and being there, that's passive. Watching, listening without engagement. That typically says to me, there's not individualization happening. There's not differentiation. It's like one size fits all. Okay, here you go. Here's the curriculum. Instead, our goal is engagement, is active. Accessing the curriculum means that a student can engage with the content. They can understand the material at their level, and then they can demonstrate learning in a meaningful way. So those are the three must-haves: active engagement, understanding at their level, and then responding and demonstrating their learning in a meaningful way. So if the expectation is to demonstrate learning by writing down answers and your student is not yet a writer, he cannot access that curriculum. If the entire curriculum is more auditory-based and your learner struggles with receptive language processing, he cannot engage in that curriculum. The process of making sure that a curriculum is accessible is individualized, it's purposeful, it's intentional. It's not just like, here's something, go at it, right? So where this process gets tricky is making sure that things are standard aligned and grade aligned. That's another phrase we hear a lot, are things standard aligned? And this process of having something that's accessible but also standard based feels counteractive. It feels like opposites, right? Well, something that's accessible for this student is matching, is visual, is responding using an AAC device or circling pictures. And he's in sixth grade. Where are the standards that support that? And it's this kind of conflict between these two things. So how do we still incorporate grade level standards? Because that still matters. How do we still make sure there's rigor and still make it accessible? Whenever I'm approaching a child and content that needs to be learned, and I'm tying in grade level standards, when I look at the standards, my goal is to figure out what is the root skill here that this child still needs in order to open up the next door to achieve this skill. Every standard is built upon multiple skills. A standard doesn't pop up in sixth grade that has no previous learning attached. All of the learning we do builds. So what we want to do with each student is look at where they're currently at and find out within that standard, within this link of skills, where do they need to start? Because those foundational concepts will build up to that bigger skill. Our goal is to prioritize essential concepts over details, volume of content. It's kind of my pet peeve when things are the opposite. And I think this happens because we're confused and we don't know what else to do. We're supposed to teach the Constitution and our student has very foundational knowledge. So we're just matching pictures of icons that look like constitutional things. Well, the skill that we're working on here is matching, by the way. It has nothing to do with the Constitution. But we're like, oh, there's a Constitution picture on there. That's good enough, right? That's accessing. Instead, we want to get to the root of what is that core concept they need to learn. If we are learning, if the standard is how to write a narrative, a personal narrative, that's the standard. At the core is being able to identify and tell stories about yourself. Personal information is related to this. Can I say how old I am? My birthday? How many siblings I have? Those are all core concepts that build up to writing a personal narrative. And guess what? Those are also functional skills. So we're looking at that essential concept over just like matching words that could be in a narrative or something that is kind of irrelevant. So we want to meet students where they're at while still thinking about those core skills within the standards. That's really how we acknowledge and incorporate standards-based learning. Okay, so let's get into then what we can do to make sure content is accessible. The core here is making sure that the content and the skills are at the level the child needs. I'm super passionate about this. You've heard me talk about our curriculum, Curriculum Access, a lot. This is used in thousands of classrooms all over the world. And the base and root kind of core concept of Curriculum Access is a multi-level curriculum that you can find the right level for your student to work on this skill. This was like the dream curriculum I made when I was in the classroom. Like, if I could dream up the perfect curriculum. And what my main need was multi-level. I typically taught 5th through 8th grade, but really I was teaching like preschool through 8th grade. So I needed that span. I needed to be able to teach number identification and one-to-one correspondence, but I also needed to be able to teach multiplication. How do we do that in one curriculum? We need to have something that's multi-leveled so we can meet each student with where they're at. Then, for most of our learners, this is going to be a generalization, but I think a lot of our learners with special needs, benefit from a structured, predictable approach to their curriculum. They know what's expected. They know the system. That's another thing that's rooted in curriculum access, right? The worksheets look the same each unit. The content changes. We have the same setup of pre-test, post-test. Using that anchor chart is the visual. That leads us to our next strategy, the use of visuals. Again, overgeneralization, but a lot of students with autism, with other diagnoses, benefit from the use of visuals. If you're someone who supports learners with autism, whether you're a special ed teacher, an RBT, or a parent who wants the very best for your child, high-quality applied behavior analysis training can make such a huge difference. If you've ever thought about deepening your expertise or advancing your ABA career, The Ohio State University has a program designed specifically for that. Ohio State offers a fully online Master's of Arts in Special Education with a specialization in applied behavior analysis. And what's really cool is the program is fully ABAI accredited, which means all of the coursework and the degree meet the requirement to pursue your BCBA and get that credential. This is a field that is continuing to grow. In fact, the job postings have increased by 102% in just 2 years for BCBAs. So the demand for highly trained ABA professionals is definitely there. And I love the flexibility that this gives you. There are so many workplace options as a BCBA. Now, I got my master's in ABA when I was a classroom teacher, so I appreciate that Ohio State has this flexible program. It's fully online. It's designed for working professionals, which back when I got my degree, there were not that many out there. So if you're currently a teacher or an RBT, this is a great opportunity to advance your knowledge while keeping your full-time job. So if you've been thinking about it, now is the time to do the research and learn about this program. Check out Ohio State's online ABA master's program. You can visit go.osu.edu/autismhelper. I'm going to link that in the show notes. That's go.osu.edu/autismhelper. If you've been stuck on a 6-month waitlist for a psychiatrist or bouncing between online mental health sites trying to find the right medication support, Talkiatry was built for you. It's a virtual psychiatric practice that actually fits your life and your insurance. Talkiatry is a 100% online psychiatric practice that provides comprehensive evaluations, diagnoses, and ongoing medication management. Unlike therapy-only sites, Talkiatry is psychiatry. That means that you'll be seeing a medical provider who can diagnose mental health conditions and prescribe medication when appropriate. All of their over 600 clinicians are in network with major insurers, so you can use your existing insurance instead of paying monthly out-of-pocket subscriptions or those out-of-network fees. Head to talkiatry.com/Sasha and complete the short assessment to get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes. That's talkiatry.com/Sasha to get matched in minutes. They don't always, a lot of students have strong receptive language skills, and that visual prompt is really helpful there, but the visual prompt is also helpful from a scaffolding and independence perspective. When we can teach our students to reference something like an anchor chart on their own, hey, I don't know exactly which word matches with which picture, but I don't have to go to my teacher to find out. I can go to the anchor chart to reference it. I don't know exactly which shapes match with which words, but I can go to the anchor chart to reference. I don't know exactly where these continents are located along the globe, but I can reference this on a map, on an anchor chart. This now builds independence. They don't need us. This is why visual prompts are so important. They lead to independence. So the use of visuals, the use of that structured, predictable system, both of those are so key. And then we're providing that direct instruction. A lot of times this needs to happen one-on-one or in small group. A lot of kids can struggle in a bigger group. But when we teach a self-contained resource room, that kind of happens naturally, right? We've got multi-level, so we're going to break students into multiple groups. And then we're going to teach the skill and then fade our help and provide the opportunities to show what they learn. The other key component in making sure that the student can access the curriculum is making sure that they have multiple ways to respond and show their learning, and that they have ways to show and demonstrate their learning that are in line with their skill set. And this is honestly my challenge with most like big box curriculum options, is that the standard ways to show what you know and show your learning is through writing or saying something. Well, what if your student isn't a writer yet and is nonverbal or has limited verbal skills? Then what? We don't teach them how to read? There are other ways to demonstrate skills and mastery. We need hands-on ways. We need to remove these barriers without just removing rigor. Well, like, okay, we're just going to match. No, there's a lot of other things we can do, and it requires creativity. It requires thinking outside the box, especially if you have curriculum you have to use. But you want to think about all of the ways a student can demonstrate learning. And I actually kind of think back when I think big picture about this to when I first learned about precision teaching and learning channels. And that has greatly impacted the way I set up curriculum to make sure it's accessible, is thinking about all of the different learning channels that we have, how we take in content, we hear things, we see things, and then how we can show and demonstrate learning. We can say something. We can point to something. We can write something. We can match. We can build. We can type. We can select. We can point to. There's so many ways, gross motor ways, that we can demonstrate learning. And if we start to think through all those learning channels, suddenly we have a lot of options on how our students can show what they know. And to me, it's always really exciting if you have those situations where you're not sure, it's harder to figure out what a student knows, and you figure out a learning channel that is really in line with their skill set. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, they know the name of every person in this classroom and every administrator, because I showed them pictures and said, hey, point to Sarah, point to Alex, point to Johnny. And she points to all of them. And you're like, oh my God, I didn't even know you were attending to this, but you were. That shows we found a way that's accessible for that learner. So let's talk about some barriers, as we kind of have been, on creating and making sure our curriculum is accessible and what we can do about it. The main barriers, obviously, are lack of time and lack of resources. In a perfect world, we'd have time every day to work on taking the gen ed curriculum and providing those accommodations and modifications, or finding a curriculum that is a good fit for our students. And then again, there's kind of still tweaks that have to be done, right? Our kids are not one size fits all situations. So a lack of time is a huge barrier here, because we just don't always have the time in a school day to make sure. Within curriculum access, I kind of keep going back to that because that's my frame of reference on how we have developed our curriculum to make sure it's accessible. We give a lot of flexibility. And I actually do think this sometimes frustrates people, because they want, like, here's the script and here is the lesson plan and here is what we do. And I'm like, yeah, but like, we can't always do that way, right? What if that doesn't work? And, you know, people use curriculum in so many different ways, as whole group, as small group, as one-on-one. So to me, as an educator, I yearn for the flexibility, because I want to do it different ways. I want to, like, hey, with this kid, I can pretty much like intro a lesson and then he's good. With this other kid, I want to sit there with this anchor chart and go through each thing, and then I need a hands-on extension activity, and then I maybe want a digital component. But this other kid, he's not great with digital stuff because it confuses him. Digital things are more of a reinforcer for him. So I want to be able to be flexible. And when a curriculum gives you that option, those options, you're going to have the most success finding things that are accessible. If you're working with the gen ed curriculum, it is finding repeatable ways to make something accessible, because we don't have a lot of time. So figuring out, okay, how can we take every week we get a weekly passage? Well, what can I do weekly? Can I record myself reading the passage, text it to his gen ed teacher, text it to the parent, text it to the mom, and then the student can listen to the passage as well as read it? That's a quick thing that we could do, right? A quick modification that we could add, that we are now listening to the passage as well as seeing it. And figuring out what core component skills are missing. Is it sight word fluency? Is it number identification? Is there a sorting skill that we could build up in isolation that would impact the overall ability to access that curriculum? So thinking about those repeatable strategies, most curriculum has a structured flow and plan into like units or chapters or skills or themes, so we can repeat it each time. And then figuring out those component skills that we can build up in the meantime that works really well, especially in a resource setting where kids are coming between gen ed and the special ed resource classroom. So I think my call to action for you today is two things. One, Think about each student in your class or on your caseload. Is the curriculum truly accessible to them? For some of your kids, you might be like, absolutely not. I got some work to do. Other kids are like, yeah, we're doing pretty good. If you answer yes or maybe to any of the kids, my follow-up question is, how can I level up? We can always be making things more accessible, building to more independence, higher levels of skill mastery, ways that our paraprofessionals can be involved in this. So plan one way to level up. And if you're far from things being accessible, start that process. Look at other curriculum. Look at ways that you can add in accommodations and modifications to what you're currently using in a way that isn't sucking up all of your time. So think through those two questions and add in those strategies to your day and watch how your students' progress and rate of learning increases. Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening. Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.